Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Tuesday, October 26, 2010. It's the Alex Jones Show Live. And I'm your host, Paul Joseph Watson, editor and writer for PrisonPlanet.com. Alex is flying back from California today, so I'll be your fill-in host for the first hour. In the second 2 hours, we're going to replay some of the best interviews from the Alex Jones Show over the past couple of weeks. And we're going to be taking your calls in the next segment if you want to load up the board. The number is 800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And we're going to talk about whatever you like. But of course, we're on the eve of the midterm elections, and there's already evidence of not only debate fraud, people cheating during political debates, but also now vote fraud. That's right, we have Fox News 5 reporting voters suspicious of fraud at ballot box. Some voters in Boulder City said they are concerned about fraud at the electronic ballot box. Voter Joyce Ferrara said that when they went to vote for Republican Sharon Angell, her Democratic opponent, Senator Harry Reid's name was already checked. Oh, really? And here's another. Voter problems. Voter reports problem with ballot machine, New Bern Sun Journal. Sam Laughinghouse of New Bern said he pushed the button to vote Republican in all races, but the voting machine screen displayed a ballot with all Democrats checked. Oh, he cleared the screen, tried again, and then the article goes on to explain how it took him 5 separate attempts until he was allowed to vote for who he wanted. So it seems the establishment is looking at playing its ace in the hole and resorting to this vote fraud. Of course, we've had months and months of endless contrived smears against Sharon Angell and Rand Paul, none of which have had any effect whatsoever. And in fact, the polls show have helped the chances of both candidates. So now we're going to see dirtier and dirtier tricks from this discredited and desperate establishment. And lo and behold, that's right, it's a new month, so that must mean a new Rand Paul smear. And the latest is a Rand Paul supporter video shows stomped on a George Soros activist Autobot, representative of the Move On Foundation, during Rand Paul's debate with his Democratic opponent Jack Conway yesterday. So I guess now that just means that Rand Paul likes to go around stomping on liberals who disagree with him. That's the cry from the liberal blogs and forums at the moment. So we go to this clip now. Play the clip.
A member of MoveOn.org pushed her way through a crowd of Rand Paul supporters with a sign. Police say she wanted to get her sign close to the candidate as he entered KET studios so a picture could be taken and posted on the website. In this video, it appears someone grabbed her wig and she tripped and fell. That's when a man wearing a Rand Paul t-shirt stepped on her. She refused treatment from emergency workers. Police trying to identify the man in that video and are trying to determine if he stepped on her intentionally. She has filed an assault report so far. Because they have not identified the man, police have made no arrest. And there was a...
So that's right. Now, according to all the leftist blogs, anyone who supports the Tea Party is also now a brown shirt. That's right. You know, these establishment-funded liberals bang on all day about the disgrace of anyone other than them invoking Nazis and Hitler in the course of a political debate. And then there's one incident like this, and the Nazi rhetoric comes out in full force. But I mean, you know, look out the window. I don't see Tea Party activists burning down synagogues or, you know, abducting liberals from their houses as they sleep, which is what the brown shirts did. Now, this guy who stomps on the girl in the video is obviously a complete moron, and he needs to be charged with assault. But did we see leftists up in arms when people like Kenneth Gladney was attacked and called the N-word?
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
It's Paul Joseph Watson filling in for Alex Jones on this Tuesday, October 26th. Now, we've got so much to talk about, we're basically running over the breaks. I'd like to hear what you want to discuss on the program today at 800-259-9231. And we played the clip just before the break there of this MoveOn operative who was attempting to have a confrontation with Rand Paul. She was stopped by Rand Paul supporters, and one of them later appeared to stomp on her head, or at least on her neck. Now, as we were saying, obviously this guy needs to be hit with assault charges immediately. But what's interesting about the reaction from the leftist blogosphere is the fact that they're now trotting out this all Tea Party supporters or brown shirt, you know, angry right-wingers who want to engage in violence. And yet, almost every example that we've documented thus far shows that it's the leftists, in fact, that are the most violent and unwieldy people engaging in extremist activities in the course of this midterm election. For example, Kenneth Gladney, this was the guy who wasn't even a member of the Tea Party at the time, who was handing out Don't Tread on Me flags at a political function. He was called the N-word by these union thug operatives, these Obama supporters, and he was beat up. Didn't see them, you know, spewing brown shirt rhetoric when that happened. Didn't see them spewing that rhetoric when an Obama supporter down in North Carolina punched a conservative full in the face for simply speaking out against our dear leader and the bailout. And of course, you remember it was last November when ANSA hired thugs viciously attacked Dave Colkit of Floridans for Immigration Enforcement again. Leftist thugs engaging in brutal violence in pursuit of their political agenda. But there were no cries of brown shirts from the liberals who are saying that today in response to this Rand Paul incident. And in fact, this is the very first example I can recall of Tea Party supporters ever engaging in any violence whatsoever. I mean, the Obamanoids are on the rampage every week, punching people in the face, beating them up with their signs. And yet you don't hear the George Soros-funded mouthpieces like Media Matters and Think Progress complaining about a black man being called the N-word and then beaten up, unless it's carried out by Tea Party activists, which of course hasn't happened. But when the loving liberals do it, the silence is deafening. And that's because, you know, you can't sell a fear-mongering campaign about the rise of the angry right, as MSNBC labelled it, and how critics of Obama are racist extremists intent on violence, when the only racist extremists actually carrying out the violence are all leftist Obama supporters. But, you know, I guess we should at least be thankful for the fact that Think Progress, which is one of these media organisations pushing this story today, admits to, quote, driving the White House's message and agenda. That's right, their own director, Jennifer Palmieri, admitted that. This is a group that claims on its own website that it's non-partisan. It's bankrolled by a think tank headed up by John Podesta, head of Barack Obama's presidential transition team. And it's committed to, quote, driving the White House message and agenda. How very non-partisan. It's like saying that, you know, Karl Rove's non-partisan to Republicans. On the other hand, Media Matters, which is kind of a sister organization, they all sit on the same boards, they're behind the same activist projects as Think Progress. Media Matters is still trying to cling to the conviction that they're not another front for George Soros and the Obama administration. Last week, Alex was talking about how somebody from Media Matters who was interviewing him point blank denied the fact that the organization took any funds from George Soros. And then just days later, it made worldwide headlines that Soros had donated $1 million to Media Matters. And of course, you know, they're joined at the hip with Think Progress. They run a you know, educational outreach called Progressive Media, which is again headed by John Podesta, this Obama administration transition chief. So these White House front groups like Media Matters and Think Progress, who are aggressively pushing these smears against Rand Paul, Sharon Angle, and other Tea Party members, receive millions in donations from these billionaires like Soros and other wealthy elites, people linked to Hillary Clinton, people like that. And all the money is going towards, number one, attacking, of course, Glenn Beck. But now several times a week, every time we look on the Media Matters website, they're attacking Alex Jones. He's become the number two target behind only Glenn Beck. And if Media Matters are not attacking Alex, then Think Progress is. And of course, driving home the White House's message and agenda is all part of the relentless smear campaign against not only Rand Paul, but also Sharon Angle, because both have a very real chance of defeating the incumbent politicians in the upcoming midterm elections. So now we've got liberals everywhere flogging this new non-story. Rand Paul supporters are all now brown shirts who want to beat up their political adversaries. I mean, we've got a running joke here in editing and posting stories to prisonplanet.com every day. Every day we get up in the morning, do a Google News search to find out what Rand Paul has not done today, what he has not done. And what was it the other day? Rand Paul didn't put his name to newsletters that said, quote, monkeys gave birth to black babies. That's right. Rolling Stone magazine just casually threw it out there that Rand Paul was involved in these newsletters. Of course, his name's not on any of them. There's no connection whatsoever. But, you know, what the hell? We'll just throw it out there anyway. Just like, you know, Rand Paul kidnaps women against their will, drugs them, and forces them to worship false gods. Oh, yes, the disgraceful Aqua Buddha scandal. The serious, grave Aqua Buddha scandal, the 30-year-old college prank, in which the woman who was involved almost immediately after the story broke retracted, said the whole thing was, quote, no big deal, but the Washington Post still to this day maintains that Rand Paul's involvement in this 30-year-old hazing trick, which was about 100 times milder than anything George W. Bush or John Kerry engaged in with their Skull and Bones initiation, that it has a, you know, a major bearing on a senatorial campaign 30 years later. And they're still obsessing about it to this day. The dreaded Aqua Buddha. Meanwhile, ignoring the fact that the people funding Jack Conway's campaign, Paul's opponent, also tips off his brother, Conway's brother, to the fact that he was being investigated for drug trafficking. And we got that story posted on prisonplanet.com today. So where's Media Matters or Think Progress on that one? Imagine if Rand Paul's campaign had been funded by people allegedly engaged in conspiracy to pervert the course of justice, you know, in a drug trafficking investigation. But no, it's all about the Aqua Buddha. The Aqua Buddha reigns supreme. How can that be a bigger controversy than criminal money allegedly funding Conway's campaign? Imagine if that had come out about Rand Paul. But again, it's all about the Aqua Buddha. It has been for the past couple of months and it still is. I want to hear what you think about this new smear against Rand Paul. We're going to go to your calls and the first caller is Christopher in Alabama. Christopher, go ahead.
How are you doing today?
Great, Christopher. What's on your mind today?
Well, I want to use you to hopefully get to Alex Jones or his producer. I've been trying to get in touch with Alex now for almost 2 years. And it really bothered me a little bit. I heard on his show on Thursday that he had the guy on. I know he talked to the guy that had terminal cancer. You know what I'm talking about?
Was this the guest that was on Alex's show? Oh, you're talking about Lindsay Williams' source.
Yes, his source that has terminal cancer. We could very easily save his life. If you guys are interested, and I want to talk to you off air to give you some really interesting information. I have twins that have a very rare disease called PKU where they'll never eat protein the rest of their life. No milk, no chicken, no cheese, no fish, no birthday cake, no ice cream, nothing that has protein. If they take it in, it becomes very toxic, goes to the brain, and eats up the brain and causes extreme mental retardation. Because of my twins, I decided to go out and try to find a cure for a cure for their PKU. In the process of doing it, we found many different cures for everything on the planet. Rediscovered them. They've been there forever. It's just our government has covered them up. And it is beyond sad. And in the process of studying PKU, my children's levels continue to go up, and we couldn't figure out why. And being that I was in the gym business and owned quite a few health clubs, I thought I knew a lot about nutrition. And then I was forced to study nutrition. And things I found out would beyond frustrate you. To start with, aspartame. Because of my children, on the back of every diet product in the country, it says pentakentanoid, contains phenylalanine, okay? For my children, if they drink that diet drink, it will eat up their brain instantaneously, okay? It does the same thing for all your listeners that drink diet drink. It just takes a much slower process, and it's one of those soft kill weapons that they use against us. And it's beyond sad, but we have technology that we've had over 30,000 terminal cancer patients, hepatitis, Lyme, TB, that we've completely
But the FDA says that aspartame's good for us. I mean, all the studies that say it's good for us are funded by the same organizations putting aspartame in the food. Can't we trust them? We're going to move on to the next call. Send me an email. We're going to head into the break now. Send me an email with your information and I'll look over it. Jonathan in Kansas, Julio in Illinois, you're up next. Stay tuned. It's the Alex Jones Show Live. It's the Alex Jones Show Live. I'm your host for today, Paul Joseph Watson. Going to more of your calls shortly. I was talking before the break about Media Matters, this organization that's tied at the hip with the John Podesta, Obama White House-controlled Think Progress. This organization, Media Matters, that just received $1 million from billionaire globalist George Soros. I said that their number one target was Glenn Beck, with Alex Jones number two. Maybe I have to revise that position, because their top story on their website today, Beck and conspiracy theorist Alex Jones are two of a kind. And in this article, they attempt to use the claims that Alex has made to discredit Glenn Beck, basically by saying that they're espousing the same incorrect rhetoric. And one of the things they cite is, quote, Beck and Jones repeat same falsehoods about Holdren. And this, of course, relates to John P. Holdren, the White House science czar. And it says, that Alex Jones claims Holdren says forced abortions and mass sterilizations are needed to save the planet. And Media Matters reprints this as if just by printing it that it immediately discredits it. We've got John Holdren's 1977 textbook, Eco-Science. We've got the screenshots from the textbook where he openly advocates forced abortions, mass sterilization programs, even devices, mandatory implants implanted in women to prevent them from becoming pregnant until they receive government permission. That's not our words, that's in his own book. And they don't even try to disprove it. They don't even have an argument. And it just goes through a litany of examples. Cass Sunstein, it denies the fact that Cass Sunstein called for infiltrating conspiracy websites, which is exactly what he called for in his own 2008 white paper. Perhaps Media Matters, and they don't put a name on this article. There's some anonymous coward hiding behind it because they don't have any information to back up their claims. But maybe the coward that wrote this article should have read the 50-odd page Holdren white paper, as I did in which he explicitly states that the government needs to infiltrate conspiracy theorist websites. I mean, get it straight. You don't have any credibility when you're tied at the hip with George Soros and the White House. You're not non-partisan. I mean, this is the group that's engaged in the educational outreach program, Progressive Media, with Think Progress, that's headed up by John Podesta, who worked directly for Obama, was the head of his presidential transition team. These smears, not only on Rand Paul and Sharon Angle, as we've seen today, but also on our very own Alex Jones, are coming through these media organizations that are nothing more than propaganda fronts for the Obama administration, as we've proven that. And I'm basically going to document this all in an article that will come out either later today or tomorrow. But what do you think about this? We're going to go to another caller, Jonathan in Kansas. Jonathan, go ahead. Jonathan, you're on the air. No, we lost him. Julio in Illinois. Go ahead, Julio.
Paul Joseph, it's always great to talk to a fellow freedom fighter from across the pond. Everyone who listened to the Lindsay Williams interview, please go to your Bibles and read 2 Corinthians chapter 7, 13, and 14. And, you know, if we all pray for repentance throughout the world, freedom will survive. Paul, my question about the Mockingbird Media, I've been asking Alex about this, and I think you write unbelievable articles. If we could do something, if we can get like a mass collection of videos, clips, articles of the Mockingbird Media and get a Google search term, put it to number one. I mean, I'm at Media Matters right now, and I mean, they talk about Beck and Jones embrace a new world order, and they promote the invisible hello? Paul?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, sorry, I thought I lost you there for a second. I mean, if people on Media Matters go to Invisible Empire, the movie, they will obviously see that Media Matters is nothing but a joke, and they will hear George Bush speaking to the Army at a ceremony about the New World Order on September 11th, 91. The Mockingbird Media really disgusts me, and me being a broadcasting major at my university, looking at third-party organizations, they're allowed by law to do this. So if we could expose Rupert Murdoch being in favor of amnesty and a North American Union in America, though he's Australian, who's the right for him to tell us this? And secondly, Paul, quickly, in terms
okay,
of...
Okay, stay there. We'll be back after the break.
Alex, go.
Man thinks, cause he rules it us, he can do with it as he please. And if things don't change.
Welcome back. It's the Alex Jones Show. We're talking about Think Progress and Media Matters, these White House propaganda fronts. Media Matters, again today, engaged in a smear against Alex Jones. This happens now on an almost daily basis. Now, there's a segment in their article called Beck and Jones Fearmonger Over Global Governance. And it says, Jones, Copenhagen Climate Summit designed to create global government using carbon taxes, in a video posted to YouTube. Jones claimed that the climate conference in Copenhagen had as part of its agenda a plan to create global government and global governance using carbon taxes. And Media Matters reprints this as if it's some kind of conspiracy theory. I mean, the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon wrote in a Los Angeles Times, it was actually an interview with the Los Angeles Times, this was shortly before the Copenhagen Climate Conference, quote, we will establish a global governance structure to monitor and manage the implementation of this. So that's the UN Secretary General saying it. It's not Alex Jones saying it. It's not Glenn Beck. And yet they reprint this as if it's a claim, as if it's a conspiracy theory that Copenhagen was about trying to get a carbon tax through. And the UN Secretary General said it in an interview with the LA Times a few days before the conference. I mean, they say that the fact that Alex talks about a new world order creating a network of international laws to regulate and control and dominate nations is another conspiracy theory. Oh, really? we've only got hundreds of elitists and power brokers saying that exact thing almost every single day. We've got a clip here of the EU Commission President Van Rompuy when he was sworn in saying that very thing. Play the clip.
2009 is also the first year of global governance with the establishment of the G20 in the middle of the financial crisis. The climate conference in Copenhagen is another step towards the global management of our planet.
The global management of our planet. But, you know, creating a network of international laws to regulate, control and dominate nations, that's a conspiracy theory, according to Media Matters, despite the fact that, you know, the head of the EU, the head of the UN, Gordon Brown, Sarkozy, anyone else you care to mention on any given day is saying precisely that. I mean, how dumb do they take their readers for? I mean, no surprise that the writer of this article has chosen to remain an anonymous coward, because all his claims are completely without any foundation whatsoever. What do you think about this? Julio in Illinois, go ahead.
Yeah, Paul, they also have about the Council on Foreign Relations, about geoengineering, about that being conspiracy. If anyone goes on Google and looks up indirect and semi-direct aerosol campaign, there's a link, the third or fourth link, from the Council on Foreign Relations promoting aerosol campaigns, chemtrails for climate change. Again, these people think we the people are ignorant, and we need to do an article and put a search term, number one. And Paul, how is it across the pond in chemtrails? Are people aware? Do people care? Or are they too busy at the pubs watching English Premier League soccer? I know here people are just concerned with college football and the NFL. How is it in Great Britain?
Well, to respond to your first point, I mean, they've got a section on Beck, Jones and the CFR. And they say that Jones has attacked the CFR and talked about how the CFR have advocated, quote, geoengineering projects. And they reprint it again with no qualifying explanation for why it's a conspiracy theory, without mentioning the fact that the Council on Foreign Relations released a whole report, a PDF document, in May 2008 called Geoengineering Workshop on Unilateral Planetary Scale Geoengineering. It's in their own documents. They released a report saying it needed to be done. But when Jones talks about it, it's a conspiracy theory. And, you know, when Glenn Beck doesn't even talk about geoengineering, but they're using Alex. They're trying to tie Alex to Beck to discredit Beck, when everything that Alex talks about is laid out in the documents that the CFR themselves released. I mean, it's amazing. With regard to people waking up to chemtrails in Britain, there's a lady in Ireland, I think the Sovereign Independent website has reported on this on a regular basis, who is going to the Irish Parliament regularly to protest chemtrails. And I think you'll only see that movement, you know, emerge as it becomes more and more obvious that these trails linger for hours and hours. I mean, I can see it for myself. I'm right over the flight path of Birmingham Airport. And I mean, you know, you barely get a sunny day at all. It's always hazy. And all the investigations into chemtrails, the local news TV station that did the investigation, found barium and these other heavy metal compounds that had emerged from these chemtrails that had dropped to the ground. And then you read about the fact that they're advocating injecting the atmosphere with sulfur, and it plays directly into what we're seeing in the skies. Of course, side effects of sulfur, the health effects are just dreadful, including reducing the power of the immune system. So, I mean, this is when they're talking about whether we should do geoengineering, that they're already doing it, and we're seeing the evidence for ourselves in the skies above us. And like I said, more and more people are becoming aware of it. We're going to move on to Liz in Illinois. Liz, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I don't know. Sorry if this is a little bit off topic, but I don't know. I think it needs to be said. I majored in philosophy, but did take a number of women's studies classes that were actually very anti-globalization. So especially on the corporate end. But I wanted to speak about the negatives of globalism from a feminist point of view. I learned that globalization affects women in most countries the worst. Like, for example, in factories, they usually use female laborers because they're believed to be docile. NAFTA and GATT has caused mass migrations from Mexico and southern countries because they can't find work that isn't just slave wages, so they come here. And when women are really at the bottom rung of their society, like in a lot of countries, and in a globalized economy, when it's, you know, falling apart, it's worse for the women in countries where they're considered less than men. And we women in the West are manipulated into thinking we're ugly, convince us to starve ourselves to death, to fit into clothing that was most likely made by a woman in a third world country, paid slave wages. And then Walmart sells the clothing and treats their women badly. But I really think that real feminism is breaking from the system that oppresses humanity as a whole, not bringing women into the system to work for it, to vote for it, and to pay taxes to it.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, take, for example, Aaron Russo, who, of course, was close friends with Nick Rockefeller. And Rockefeller told him directly that the early feminist movement was directly funded by the elite, not to empower women, not to, encourage the growth of a fairer society. It was done to turn them into tax slaves. They only were able to tax 50% of the population at the time. After feminism, you know, not to say that women can't have careers, but what it did do for the elite, and this was the stated purpose, as Rockefeller told Russo, was that it got women out of the house, it broke up families even more, divorce rates went through the roof, and of course they were able to tax another 50% of the population. And as you've said, globalization is about basically shipping your job off to a third world country where slaves who are treated like dirt, a lot of them women, do your job for peanuts. And that's the destruction that globalization has wrought on the economy. Thanks for the call, Liz. Mike in Minnesota. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi. How are you doing? I think all the politicians have perverted our political system. We need to restructure this government where the bankers can't get their fingers into the cookie jar. Our jobs, I don't know if you've known, like, from 15 years ago, we had a very strong country. 20 years ago, even stronger. But I don't know if people remember this when Ross Perot ran for president. He said, if this NAFTA thing goes through, you're going to hear a sucking sound of all the jobs leaving this country. And pretty much that's what's happened. The sucking jobs have left the country. And then it started off with our politicians letting all these illegals into the country. And they knew most of the mass population of the United States did not like it. They wanted them to stop it, but they did nothing to stop it. And then once our country got diluted with illegal aliens, and then they turn around, and now they're shipping all the jobs to China. We're prisoners, not just women. Prisoners are taking your jobs. You no longer have a job if you're listening to me because of this. And then all the factories are moving there. And now it's a collapse. We're in a collapse right now. And in England, what they did when this happened way back, they would go after the king and kill him. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, it's like what Max Kaiser said in France, you know, they beheaded people. But, you know, I mean, you're not only using your jobs to prisoners in China, you're losing them to prisoners in America. There's a whole industry based around it. So that sucking sound is very clear as we approach 2011, as globalization has wrought its deadly consequences on America and the rest of the world. Thanks for the call. Corey in France. Go ahead, Corey.
Hey, Paul. I'm a first-time caller. I'm originally from Wisconsin, but now I live here in France.
Where do you live in France, Corey?
You probably heard a lot about the protests going on here in France, huh?
Yeah. Where are you based in France?
Well, I got some interesting information. I speak French, so I get to read the newspapers and online stuff. And one of the guys from the left party, the Socialist Party, he's actually the chairman, he came out and he's saying that agent provocateurs have been infiltrating the protests and causing violence.
No, well, yeah, we wrote an article about it last week. Basically, he said that these black balaclava-wearing anarchists who are from the schools were basically completely discrediting the unions, burning cars and throwing rocks through Starbucks front windows doesn't really do an awful lot to stop the government moving ahead. Blockading fuel depots certainly does get their attention. But as we've explained all along, these black bloc anarchists are nothing but useful idiots that the establishment exploits on a regular basis to its own ends. You know, the support rate for the unions was running at 70-80% in the media when these protests began. As soon as you had all the images of anarchists smashing up shop windows and burning cars, that approval amongst the rest of the population soon began to sink. And of course, the pension reform is awaiting final signature, I believe, today. But where are you based in France, Corey? I mean, have you had trouble getting petrol, getting gas?
I'm here in Lille, France, which is about an hour north of Paris, so I'm really far north in France. And a lot of the gas stations here ran out of gas a couple days ago, but they've got more fuel now. But I don't have a car, but the gas station next to my house, they were out of fuel for a couple days. But I just wanted to add about what this guy said. He said that people witnessed people in plain clothes going in the crowd, throwing stones, smashing windows, and then they would walk out and put their police armband on.
Wow.
So they were actually, you know, they were plainclothes people protesting. They would go smash windows, break things, and then they would walk out with the riot police. And he has a picture on his blog with two gentlemen in plain clothes that have armbands on right next to riot police, and they have their faces covered up and the hoods over their heads.
So, and was this reported in the mainstream news?
I'm sorry?
Was this reported in mainstream news?
Yeah, it actually was. They mainly talked about just the accusations of him saying that police are doing this. But it's in, like, the French press agency, the TF1, the 20 Minutes. But I haven't found anything about it in English-speaking news agencies, just French-speaking news.
Wow. If you could send me an email, watson@prisonplanet.com, with those links and that information, I'll definitely be interested in doing a story on that. Thanks for the call. We're going to John in Ohio, who disagrees. Go ahead, John.
Yes, I was interested in the last caller because he mentioned that the exposure of police agent provocateurs and government provocateurs, really false flag terrorism, was exposed by a socialist organization in France. I think that people ought to realize that we've been lied to about the nature of left and socialist organizations. I used to listen to Alex Jones and love the populism, the anti-establishmentism. But lately, my disagreements with, which was originally they're copying the IMF and the World Bank and the Wall Street's policies of attacking any kind of social assistance program, any kind of welfare safety net programs as some despicable nanny state, exactly copied the plans across the world now to impose this kind of slashing of these programs and all living standards to funnel the money into the World Bank and the Wall Street vultures. So, and I'm also very concerned that this has even worsened now, that this support for Rand Paul, the fact that Media Matters is a front for often for the White House, doesn't obscure the fact that there are good reasons to oppose Rand Paul. The fact that he is a neocon Zionist who supported very servilely everything that Israel has done trying to instigate war against Iran, sending out a post to all of his supporters saying that anything that Israel wants to do, including war against anyone in the region and against Iran, is perfectly supportable. This is the line line of the Zionists. This guy may not be their favorite neocon, but he is an absolute neocon, and it violates everything that I think Alex Jones, who I agree on some of his positions but not on his right-wing positions, says he's opposed to in these wars against Iran and Iraq and the rest of it. Rand Paul is directly on the other side, and I think
okay.
It's a disgrace.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, Sharon Angle, Rand Paul, they've got proposals, they've got policies that not all of us agree with, but the fact that the Obama administration media front groups are viciously attacking them on a daily basis suggests that they see them as a threat. Now, we've wrote countless articles about how the higher echelons of the Tea Party is completely being infiltrated by Republicans, yet there are still some candidates who aren't part of that takeover. I firmly believe that Rand Paul and Sharon Angle are two of them. May not agree with their geopolitical policies, but I think if they got into office, that's something we could certainly turn their ear on. They do get into office. We'll be going to the rest of your calls. Ronald in Jersey, Matt in Florida, Alex Jones Show live. Stay tuned.
Before you slip into unconsciousness, I'd like to have another kiss.
It's the final segment of the Alex Jones Show on this Tuesday, October 26, 2010. Now, caller before the break was talking about Rand Paul's support for Israel. Now, to be sure, Rand Paul has come out with some terse rhetoric on his website about a so-called special relationship between the United States and Israel. Basically, he's playing politics to get the support of Republican voters. Go back to his original newsletters, things that he actually did write about, unlike the things that the mainstream media says he wrote about, which he had nothing to do with whatsoever. You read what Ron Paul actually said, quote, "By far the most powerful lobby in Washington of the bad sort is the Israeli government." And he said that the goal of the Zionist movement was to stifle criticism of Israel. So that's what Rand Paul said in his own independent political newsletter back in the early 90s. So just because he comes out with some terse statement saying he supports, you know, America's allies, he's playing politics to get votes. I mean, come on. Look at his dad. Look at his newsletters from the early 90s. I think the true foundation of Rand Paul's geopolitical outlook would quickly become clear if he was elected, and that would be of the limited viewpoint of defense and not occupying foreign countries that's similar to that embraced by his father Ron Paul. So, I mean, just go back and look at what Rand Paul actually wrote and the documents, the ideas that were the foundational basis of his entry into politics in the first place. We're going to go to Ronald in Jersey. Sorry, yeah, Ronald in Jersey. Go ahead. You're on the air, Ronald.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
Fine. Go ahead, Ron. What's on your mind?
It's a little bit off topic, but I wanted to talk about this a little bit. I know a lot of people will appreciate it in the country because it's an endemic problem. When I was 17 years old, I was sold that, you know, I needed to go to college and that getting a college degree, regardless of basically what it was in, was important. And my parents, you know, signed a student loan. We signed a promissory note jointly. And basically now that the globalism has helped crash the system, you know, we've subsidized our own failure and we've been convinced that low prices and buying cheap products for China would benefit us, you know. I'm unable to pay this debt. And, you know, I've been put in such a position where, you know, the debt is not even dismissible in bankruptcy court. I'm basically a serf to, you know, the bankers, and they take this promissory note, and just like the mortgage fraud, they sell it to, they sell it 10 and 12 times over and make money up and down, and I'm expected to pay this debt for the rest of my life and can't get from under it. So I wanted to see if you had any specific information about student loans and, you know, the fraud that's behind them, as well as most other debt instruments in our country.
Well, that's right. I mean, in the UK, a lot of people think you can get away from student loans by simply moving out. I'm afraid that's not the case. As you said, they hound you down. And it's this whole process of, you know, getting you into debt simply to be indoctrinated to become a servant of the establishment, which is what university is all about. I went to university, and it's about parroting what they tell you. The best university student is somebody who can regurgitate wholesale what's fed into them. They don't teach you how to think. And if you go to YouTube and watch Valedictorian Speaks Out Against Schooling, I think that will exemplify exactly what I'm talking about in that context. Final caller, Matt in Florida, quickly, 30 seconds, go ahead.
I'm glad to get on. You were talking about how there's debate fraud, and it's true. In Florida, there's a libertarian Senate candidate who's being restrained from being in the debates due to the fact that the three candidates plus
That's
the
right.
media...
We got the story on the website. Stay tuned. Alex is back tomorrow. PrisonPlanet.tv. Alex Jones Show.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, last week, Ron Paul, Lou Dobbs, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, Max Kaiser, Gerald Celente, they've all predicted what's now happening financial to our financial system. But Robert Kiyosaki, best-selling author multi times over of RichDad.com, going back 5 years, he's been breaking down everything that is happening and unfolding in our society as well. And his new book out, Conspiracy of the Rich, The Eight New Rules of Money, RichDad.com. He's just finished another book, A Unfair Advantage, which is soon to be released. He is an American investor, businessman, self-help author, and motivational speaker. Kiyosaki is best known for Rich Dad, Poor Dad series of motivational books. He has written over 15 books, which have combined sales over 26 million copies. And he is somebody who really tells it like it is, and he's with us for the next hour here today. And Robert, good to have you here with us.
Hey, thank you. I'm honored to be on your program.
Well, honored to have you. Well, this is a short segment, but just you told everybody what was going to happen. How did you know? What did you say was going to unfold? And where are we going from here?
Well, the pieces came together back in 1972. I was a Marine Corps pilot flying over Vietnam, and I saw the Vietnamese people panicking, and they wouldn't accept U.S. dollars, and they wouldn't accept piastre, their currency, and all they wanted was gold. And I knew something was up at that point, and over the years, the pieces just kept coming together. So that's where it started for me.
And that's when you really started to learn how monetary systems really work?
Well, the pieces, like I said, I wish I could say I knew. I mean, even today, as much as I know, it's still smoke and mirrors as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely, but going back just in the last 5-6 years, you've predicted exactly what's happening now.
Yeah, well, that's not hard to do. I mean, all you do is listen to what Greenspan was saying and Bernanke was saying and Clinton and Bush, and you kind of get the idea that you're being, screwed. So it wasn't that hard to figure it out. I think the toughest thing for people is what can I do? What can I as an individual do? And I think that's where my company, Rich Dad, comes in, is we teach people how to avoid the pitfalls of falling prey to the ultra-rich,
Let's get into falling prey to the ultra-rich, this system they've created to destroy our wealth and transfer it to themselves. Then we'll get into your solutions after the break. But when you talk about falling prey to them, how are people falling prey to them? What are their traps they're laying?
Well, the idea of saving money, that's ridiculous. After 71, when Nixon broke the Bretton Woods Agreement and put us on the dollar standard, not the gold standard, then anybody who was saving money was the biggest loser. And then in 1974, the government passed ERISA, Employee Retirement Income Security Act. And the reason they did that, as best I can tell, is because my father's generation, the World War II generation, wasn't in the stock market because they got hammered during the Great Depression. So guys like my dad, he wouldn't go into the stock market. So in 1974, they passed ERISA, which is now the 401k. And now they require most employees to put their money into mutual funds. And I don't know if you know the ratio, but John Bogle of Vanguard says you put up 100% of the money, you take 100% of the risk, and they take 80% of the profits. and this compounding expenses just rips the little guy apart. So they don't have a prayer for their retirement.
But they have all these well-paid pitchmen out there to give people, you know, the illusion that they're making a smart investment.
Right. And then what happens in our schools is the bankers go to the schools and tell your kids to save money. At the same time, the Fed, you know, Obama printed, what, $1.9 trillion? And then they keep telling you to invest for the long term in the stock market. And as you know, long-term investors for the last 10 years have made zero. They've actually lost money.
But gold's up fourfold, though they try to suppress it. Robert Kiyosaki, richdad.com, an icon out there. No need to really introduce him. We're going to come back from this quick break and give him the floor to walk through the pitfalls of the elite, the scam investments versus what he does with his money to great success. He'll be with us for the next 55 minutes. We're honored to have him. I'm Alex Jones.
You are obsolete, Mr. Wordsworth.
A lie. No man is obsolete.
You have no function, Mr. Wordsworth. You're an anachronism, like a ghost from another time.
I am nothing more than a reminder to you that you cannot destroy truth by burning pages.
You're a bug, Mr. Wordsworth, a crawling insect, an ugly, misformed little creature who has no purpose here, no meaning.
I am a human being.
Words, Mr. Wordsworth, that have no substance and no dimension, like air, like the wind.
I don't care. I tell you, I don't care. I'm a human being. I exist. And if I speak one thought aloud, that thought lives, even after I'm shoveled into my grave.
Delusions, Mr. Wordsworth. Delusions that you inject into your veins to make you think you have a strength when you have no strength at all. You have nothing but spindly limbs and a dream. And the state has no use for your kind.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
We are live, hour number 3, 9 minutes, 15 seconds in. Icon Robert Kiyosaki is our guest, richdad.com. He's here to talk about how the ultra-rich have set up a scam to transfer your wealth to them. He's going to go over the different types of corruption and manipulation that are going on, and then ways to avoid this and protect yourself. He has charted and chronicled and predicted everything we see unfolding today, and that's the type of guest we have on. Not all the big paid-for mercenaries, financial mercenaries on TV and radio that give you disinfo. We have people on who've got a track record of being accurate, and he's one of the most accurate out there, richdad.com. Again, our websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Robert, you started getting into some of the ways they transfer our wealth. Let's go over that and then ways to protect ourselves and then where you see this society and economy going. Robert?
Well, when you say to your child, go to school, get good grades, and get a safe, secure job, the moment you've done that, you've programmed to pay taxes at that point. So the harder you work, the higher percentage in taxes you pay, and then they tell you to save money. And the problem with saving money is, you know, from the, you know, the fractional reserve system, the Fed and the Treasury are allowed to print money, so your money is devalued in the savings plan. The third, when they print money, you're eaten alive by inflation, and you can see inflation creeping up in food right now. And then the fourth way is they tell you to put it into a retirement plan filled with mutual funds, stocks, bonds, and things like that. And what happens is the taxes go against the person who does that, but also their money is flowing to the rich. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong because, you know, every coin has two sides. So the money is always flowing to guys like me. So when I write Rich Dad, Poor Dad and all this, I'm saying, look, that money in savings is going to me. Your money in your 401k is going to me. And when you pay taxes, that money goes to me, and I do mean me. So that's why I wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, was to wake people up and say, look, you only have basically two choices. You're either going to make the money or have your money stolen. And that's the system. It's terrible.
Well, earlier you were talking about the pension funds and the ratio and 401ks, the mutual funds. Now they're openly, and this is already happening in Europe, it's called austerity, where almost all the taxes we pay goes to service debt that they made out of nothing via fractional reserve banking and now the derivative scam that even leverages it further. And we know Now they're announcing, oh, we're going to save Social Security by raising the tax. We're going to save your private pension fund, your 401k, by taking it and putting a tax on it. And so now as people get ready to retire in record amounts, magically they're changing the system to steal most of that as well. And then through government-run health care, they make you pay into the system. I mean, it's incredible.
It's fascism is what it is. It's not even socialism anymore. You know, fascism was where the government does it at the point of a gun to force you to do things.
Yes.
And that's what you know, I fought in Vietnam twice, and I didn't fight for fascism or socialism. I fought for capitalism. And I think that's what's being robbed from us is a free capitalist society.
Go through the basics and talk about some of your new books, Conspiracy of the Rich, 8 Ways, the 8 New Rules of Money, and A Unfair Advantage, one of the newest books. But, I mean, go through specifically then, quantify what you mean by when you pay taxes, it goes to, you know, Ben Bernanke. When you pay, when you make money, they get it. So, how do you make money and keep it? Explain that.
Well, let me explain. There's always two sides to a coin. I've never seen a one-sided coin yet. So the tax laws are really designed to make the rich richer. The problem is if you go to school and get a job or become a doctor or a lawyer, the tax then flows to the rich. So a guy like me, I have made more money in the last 3 years, from 2007 to 2010, tax-free. And so debt and taxes work for those with financial education. Debt and taxes work against those without financial education. So you can go to Harvard or Oxford and all this and still know nothing about debt and taxes. I am millions of dollars in debt, but that debt makes me rich, tax-free. And that's where financial education kicks in. This stuff they teach kids to put your money in a mutual fund, I'm glad they do that because that's where I get my money from. That's really the second side of the coin.
Okay, explain that to people.
Well, there's two kinds of people. You either park your money, which is savings and pensions, and people who move their money. This, in my world of finance, is called the velocity of money. I want my money back as soon as possible so I can buy another asset. And I mean an asset, not stocks, bonds, or mutual funds. So I'm constantly moving my money. And what the system, the banking system, does is programs you to park your money. So you put it into savings and, save, and then you put it in a retirement plan, let's say starting at 25, and you hope it's there at 65. I do not do that. You know, financial education would teach you how debt and taxes make the rich richer. And that's all I'm saying to people when I wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I said your house is not an asset. It's the bank's asset. And if you could wake up to that, oh, no, you don't know what you're talking about. And now we have people who are walking away from their mortgages because the mortgage is worth more than the house. And that's what a little financial education, these guys wouldn't be able to brainwash you as easy. I'm not saying they're good or bad people. I'm saying if you don't know, somebody's going to pick your pocket.
And your books quantify that down to fine detail, but give people the basics. As they're saying, what is this Robert talking about? What is he saying here? Tell us what you do with your money and what the rich do with their money.
Okay, first of all, there's two books people should read if they want to understand Rich Dad. Rich Dad, Poor Dad was really the basics. And Rich Dad, Poor Dad is a book on accounting, but it sold 24 million copies because it explains what our school system doesn't teach you, even in accounting classes. And the second book is a book called The Cash Flow Quadrant. And the quadrant is the four people that make up the world of money. The E quadrant stands for employees. So you could be a CEO or a janitor. The trouble with the E quadrant is that's the second highest tax of all the quadrants. That started in 1943 as the Current Tax Payment Act, which went against the Constitution. And they could tax, the government got paid before the employee got paid. Now, the next quadrant is the S quadrant, which stands for small business, self-employed, or specialist, like a doctor or a lawyer. The tax laws changed for them in 1986 with the Tax Reform Act. And they were that was part of the Reagan thing. They were trying to collect more taxes. On the right side of the quadrant, there's B, and B stands for big business, 500 employees or more. And I stands for investor. There's an investor class. Now, many people invest, like they invest in a mutual fund, but they're not, they invest, but they're not investors. Investors are pure capitalists because they're always raising capital. So for a guy like me, since I have more than 500 employees and I'm always raising capital via debt and things like that, I pay no tax. See, if you look at the tax code, the Internal Revenue Tax Code, most of the code is how to avoid taxes. But the trouble is, if you go to school and you're taught by the socialists of the school system, they're actually teaching you to be the proletariat, the working class, working for the bourgeois, the rich. And I don't want to be bourgeois. I just want to be a capitalist. I don't want to pay all that tax. See, the government needs guys like me who provides jobs. And I have large apartment houses. And I have oil wells. I produce constantly. So the tax laws are written for me, except the school system doesn't tell you about the other side of the coin.
So how are you, you know, physically, you know, live in nice houses, have a lot of money, sell, you know, tens of millions of bucks, but then not pay any taxes?
Well, because debt and taxes are written for people on the B and the I side of the quadrant. You see, you have to, when 1973, I came back from Vietnam. I was a Marine helicopter pilot. Went down three times. I refused to fight anymore. I'd had it. Because I knew I was being lied to by my government. So I come home and I ask my poor dad, the head of education, what should I do? He says, why don't you go fly for the airlines? And I said, well, then I become a pawn of the system. So with that, I went to listen to my rich dad and became an entrepreneur because I did understand a little bit about tax incentives and investing and like this. So I took up real estate courses starting in 1973 because you have to learn to manage debt. Because as you know, is after 71 that the dollar became debt. So you have to learn to manage debt. So today I borrow millions of dollars tax-free. I buy these apartment houses. They're 100% financed. And I've done this most of my life. I have no equity into the property. And the more I use bank money, OPM, the less I pay in taxes, then I get things like depreciation, amortization, and those other tax incentives because I provide large apartment houses because the government needs housing for people. Also, I get tax incentives for oil production. I don't buy oil stocks. Like, I would never touch Exxon or BP shares. What I want is a percentage of the production. So when the prices of oil go up, I make more money. It goes down, I still make money. Because the moment, let's say I invest $100,000 in oil production, I get a 28% return on my capital instantaneously.
Tell you what, stay there. Let's continue to quantify this with Robert Kiyosaki of RichDad.com. I'm Alex Jones of PrisonPlanet.com. Stay with us. Robert Kiyosaki is our guest. Robert, you know, for the average person who can't buy oil well operations or drilling operations, the average person who can't buy big apartment houses, and most people actually know in Austin who've done well over time, that's exactly what they do. What does the average person start doing to get in the right quadrant?
That's a great question. My whole shtick is, why don't we have financial education in our schools? You see, that's where it starts, and that's where the brainwashing begins. You know, you talk about InfoWorld.
When I was in public school, that's all they taught me was how great 401ks. I'm sorry, you said that's where the InfoWorld starts.
No, it's like, you know, the NEA, the National Education Association, Forbes calls them the National Extortion Association. And they really are agents of the ultra-rich to prevent people from knowing how the tax and debt systems work. So all I did was having a rich dad who didn't go to school. It's my best friend's father. It's like he kind of helped me crack the code. And I began to understand why there's no financial education in our schools. Why do they try and control the media all the time? And I got to be very suspicious. And I'm not against our troops, but I went to Vietnam twice, and I realized I was being lied to. And so that's when I kind of woke up and said, okay, I'm going to listen to my rich dad. I'm going to find out what's really going on. So that's all I do. When I write rich dad, poor dad, I say your house is not an asset. I got hate mail from my friends who are realtors. You know, I didn't say don't buy a house. It says it's not an asset. And you know, in 2002, I wrote Rich Dad's Prophecy. And it was about the biggest stock market crash in history that's still coming, and it's about the 401k. And at that time, the Wall Street Journal, Smart Money, and Money Magazine just hung me up the flagpole, and it was the second crucifixion, you know? I was like, jeez.
I remember.
Yeah, I get crucified by those guys. And then today, our school system still bring in the bankers and tell you to save money, and they still bring in the financial planners and tell you to put your money in a 401k for the long term. And I'm saying there's another side to that. That's where I make my money, is on ignorance. And all I do in Rich Dad is just say, this is the other side. It's a free country. Make your choice.
Okay, so you're somebody making $200,000 a year, keeping about $100,000 after taxes. What does Robert Kiyosaki do?
I would take a class, you know, in 1973, I took classes on real estate. I don't, you know, residential real estate. I meet these idiots, like my accountant. He says, yeah, I'm a real estate investor. I own a house. I said, no, you're a consumer. You're not an investor. No, I'm an investor. But they're such morons. They know nothing about tax code and all this stuff and property management and all the things that make you rich. So I started off back in 1973, a little one-bedroom, one-bath condo on the beach of Maui. And that's where it began. Today I own about 4,000 units, 5 golf courses, luxury hotels, oil production throughout the world, and businesses throughout the world, gold mines and silver mines. But I didn't listen to the school system, and that's the difference.
Well, that's like 10 years ago. They said, do not buy gold and silver. It's a bad investment. They're
yes.
still saying it. But
yes.
to 1980 inflation, it's supposed to be $2,500 an ounce.
You should have seen me. I was in 2000 on CNBC, and they said, what are you investing? I said, gold. They said, that's stupid. It's $275 an ounce. I said, that's smart. But they don't want gold to go up, as you know. Because it means the fiat currency of the world is going to come apart.
And when it does, gold's going to the moon.
And right now, if you don't have much money, I've been saying this for years because I'm actually a silver buff. Silver is the best investment of all because it's a consumable precious metal, whereas gold is hoarded. For the first time in the history of the world, there is more gold than silver on planet Earth. So silver is a bargain, even at $25. And I hear
That's
these
right.
morons tell me I don't have any money. I said, Jesus, you know, $25, you don't have that. You're in big trouble.
Well, what, silver was $5.50, $6 10 years ago. It's at almost $25 an ounce right now.
Right.
I'd say that's a pretty good investment. And anybody could start buying one silver.
He's given you amazing predictions, and almost all of them have come true. But I guess he was speculating because even the establishment didn't know exactly what was going to happen with the oil spill. I mean, he did say that was going to be a little bit worse than it's turned out to be, right? I mean, he wasn't completely right about that.
Well, that positively was an accident. That was not planned. And they finally had to fill that entire pipe with drilling mud and close it off. So that's kind of a issue of the past, and people around the Gulf will have to live with the corrections.
And we don't really know the truth because
now we come down to the other things that are most important. And, of course, we're going to face crude oil prices going up. We're going to face this mortgage-backed security crisis. And I listed over the weekend, in light of what these people have told me, what you need to do. Janet Napolitano was right. Go do it immediately. Stock market, folks, you've got to take action if you're in it. Your cash, you must have some cash in your house. Don't put it in the bank. You can't depend on the bank. The banks have a major problem. And your 401ks and your IRAs, retirement funds, if you're depending on those, please, I beg of you, give it a second thought. Gold and silver,
Lindsay,
hold it.
We got to go to break. Come. We're going to come back and go to phone calls and go through some more of this key information. Stay with us. It's Monday. Sucking the blood of the children.
Sucking the children day by day. Yeah.
The Babylon system.
The Babylon system is a vampire. Falling empire.
Yeah, people like to make fun of third world countries because they can never get themselves together. But now it's happening here. It's always been going on, but now there's so many vampires, so many parasites, and they're collapsing the civilization and society by design. That's why my films, The Obama Deception and Fall of the Republic, are so important. They're really not films about Obama, but it's meant to get liberals and conservatives to watch the film and to see how he's nothing but a puppet and how the banks have engineered these crises. And I released the Obama deception now more than a year and a half ago, Fall of the Republic, what, 8, 9 months ago. And those are the key films to show you currently what's happening. I hope you'll get them at Infowars.com. I hope you'll make copies of the DVDs. I hope you'll send the videos out to everyone you know, because it, in a complex but riveting way, it lays it all out. Because if we don't politically, as a society, stand up and shatter the left-right paradigm and point out how they control us and how they divide and conquer us and what this global banking agenda is, we're going to lose this society. Lindsey Williams, before he leaves, will give you the number and website if you want to get some of the books and films and DVDs and audio CDs that break down all of his research and intel and his sources. But prophecyclub.com has all that latest information available. But before he leaves us at 5 after next hour, maybe we even keep him a little bit longer, we will give you that number and other information. So prophecyclub.com. Of course, again, our websites are infowars.com and prisonplanet.tv. 6 days a week, we live video stream the full radio show. We're not doing that today because I'm here in Santa Cruz, California. But there can be no doubt now that we're going into a depression. There can be no doubt it was engineered. That's admitted. And there can be no doubt that the people that engineered it are in control. And it's very, very simple. And people need to understand this is the fruit of globalism. It is poverty. It is bankruptcy. It is war. It is pain. I want to go to Steve, Matt, Ronnie, Diane, Nalani, and others that are patiently holding. And as you hear those callers disconnect when we're done, you can call in 800-259-9231. Lindsey, they're openly now announcing, I saw them changing the rules 5 years ago. Now they're saying, yeah, we're going to take your private pension funds and tax them to keep them safe for you. Oh, because they invested in mortgage-backed securities, the government's got to take it over. That's how they sell it. And, oh, yes, we are blocking COLA increases on cost of living expenses for seniors on Social Security. I mean, it goes on and on. But don't worry. They've got tax increases on top of it all to further stall the economy and carbon taxes for you. And if that doesn't, break your wallet, well, we've got all these cops out there writing tickets as fast as they can. One of the guys at the station just ran to the store to get some breakfast for us and didn't completely stop at a stop sign and just got a ticket. The police right out here are like piranhas, feeding. But if you're an illegal alien, though, they fall down on their knees and worship you and say you can go because, again, they want to keep those borders wide open to further drive down wages until we're all third world serfs. As soon as we're third world serfs, though, you better believe they're going to be throwing the illegals in the hooskow in the little prison cells immediately. Lindsey, I want to go to phone calls. But anything else that he told you in this last discussion you had just yesterday, anything else that you can tell us? You say out of respect. I mean, obviously he's telling you this information so that you can talk about it as long as you don't give up his identity. The system's listening to your phones. They know who it is. I know who it is. I know who the lady in Phoenix is, separately and confirmed it. So, why not just go ahead and tell us? Because, God forbid you could. I think it's dangerous for you to know this information and to not tell us all of it now. I mean, if it's really that powerful, that's the only danger you're in is not telling us what he told you.
Well, I think if I could all sum it all up in just a few expressions after what I've heard this weekend. Every person out there in your listening audience needs to somehow, some way, I don't know how you're going to do it, you need to get a paid-for roof over your head. When this mortgage-backed security thing comes down, they will own your mortgage, and they will tell you what to do with your house the rest of your days. You'll not be able to leave it to your children. You need a paid-for roof over your head, even if it's a shanty. It's better than having a mansion and letting the elitists tell you everything to do. Government intervention in your life, you've never seen the like of what it's going to be because the elitists control the president. They tell Congress what to do. Who do you think wrote the health care bill? Do you remember that this gentleman said to me months ago before the health care bill was ever passed? He said, Chaplain, that's not a health care bill. He said, that is total control. Well, now we've realized that everything that's in the health care bill It's exactly that.
No, it's got the death panels. It was written by the banks that own the insurance companies. It makes you buy it. Then they can cut the actual care you get. It doesn't cover pre-existing conditions. It is another giant tax. It has provisions in there for real estate taxes, federal property taxes. I mean, it's all in there. Increased taxes on the Social Security money they take out of your check. It is a total nightmare. They're seizing control. They're building threat fusion centers, openly federalizing all of our police. I mean, this is a criminal takeover. What else can you tell us that he told you? I mean, what is shaking you up so bad? Tell us, Lindsay.
Well, he has warned me over and over and over, and he keeps on warning me. He said, Chaplain, the only place you can secure any of your assets is in gold and silver. He said, real estate, you can't depend on it. He said, nothing else you can. He said, gold and silver, and don't let somebody else hold it in paper form for you. You need to purchase more, even at $1,350 an ounce. You've got to do it. Folks, get out of your 401ks and your IRAs and transfer them over to silver accounts, retirement accounts, anything you can. And again, I'll stress, please get cash in your home because the elite are on the verge of drawing the string. And whatever they do, they will control you because if you don't have cash, you can't buy gasoline at the pump, even if you can get it. I mean, if you can get it. And you won't be able to
buy groceries at the
grocery store. Every preparation that you possibly can make. But again,
Lindsay,
please get a paid-for roof over your head.
Lindsay, did he talk to you about bank runs or bank holidays when they shut it down and then announced dollars have been devalued afterwards? Because, you know, that's even what the New York Times is now talking about.
Yes, he positively has said that we are going to have a disruption of the currency. How they will choose to do it, there's many different ways. And, of course, the thing that he said so plainly is the dollar is going to go down and down and down and down in value. I beg of you, get it right now. If there's anything in the world that you need to buy, and you have the cash to buy it right now. Because the dollar is going to become more worthless by the day. He has stressed this over and over and over, that the dollar is going to be dead, and they will probably go to another currency. They will go to a currency of some kind. It's under my impression from listening to these people that they'll probably go directly to a world currency and not just the North American Union currency. I think they've bypassed that. But get some cash in the house and be prepared for whatever may take place. He warns me about that over and over.
Well, notice how the government is lying to everybody. We've known for more than 2 years national unemployment is above 22%. It's 22.2, 22.6, 22.8. It varies according to these actuaries that are put out by, you know, big mainline financial analyst firms. Anybody can just search the term real unemployment above 22%. But here's 60 Minutes shock report. We've got the full report up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, the video 15-minute segment from 60 Minutes. 60-minute shock report, real unemployment nationwide, 17.5, California, 22. And then here's CNBC today, dollar at risk of becoming toxic waste charts show. The dollar slump could get far worse if the dollar index takes out last year's low. Robin Griffiths, technical analyst at Casanova Capital, told CNBC today, if the dollar index takes out the low that was made roughly a year ago, I really think that they will not only encourage more sales, it will cause a little bit of a minor panic. He went on to say, a year ago, it was deemed too cheap. If it goes any lower, then it actually becomes toxic waste. The dollar resumed its recent downturn Monday, so gold went back up today, in the wake of a meeting of finance ministers from the group of G20 nations. That's the folks coordinating the concerted global devaluation of all currencies. They call it, what's the exact term they use for a coordinated devaluation? The meeting failed to yield a definitive agreement on currencies, putting selling pressure on the greenback. The dollar is being trashed. We've actually had effective devaluation of about 14% in the last 2 months, Griffin said. His view is contrary to the HSBC foreign exchange strategist David Bloom, who told CNBC that the continuation of currency war after the G20 might put pressure on risky assets, causing a flight to safety for the dollar. Well, that's what Dr. Paul Craig Roberts has said on this show many times, former head of policy at the Treasury under Reagan, but he says that only happens for a short time. So that's why the dollar goes down, then other currencies go down, then people flood back into bonds and the dollar goes back up. But if you look at the chart, it's steadily going down. So, yes, it'll go down by a few points and then go back up by a point, then go down a couple more points, then go back up by a point or two. But overall, in the aggregate, it's going straight down. Lindsay, did he specifically give you a time frame on when the dollar would go belly up?
Oh, yes, he positively did. In fact, I think I've given this on your show before. He said the dollar will be dead by 2012. And, of course, it's very easy to see that this year, in 2011, they could begin to do a lot of things to cause the dollar to be completely worthless. You must prepare for all of this. Now, the United States has lost 42,400 factory jobs since 2001. 75% of those factories employed more than 500 people. Do you realize that the elitist did every bit of this? They have moved everything abroad to
China. We've lost millions of factory jobs. It's a lot worse. Absolutely. It's all been done by design. Let's go to some phone calls, Lindsay. Amazing information. Let's talk to Steve in New Mexico. Steve, thanks for holding her on the air.
Lindsay and Alex, listen, not to belabor the point, but as I understand it, what we have here is an elite cartel of international bankers, and they're subjecting us to a kind of financial and economic rape. And my question is this. Isn't it high time that we hit these financial terrorists where they live and withdraw all our money from the banks? In other words, a concerted, coordinated, nationwide effort to pull the plug on the banksters by withdrawing their lifeblood.
Yes, there must be massive action on the part of the American people. And the thing that I guess the reason I'm so disturbed this morning, and the reason Alex and everybody else can hear it in my voice, is because of what I've heard in the past few days. Folks, you don't have much longer. These people feel that they have it in the bag. And every group in America, every person listening to the Alex Jones Show, you're right. We've got to have a concerted effort to stop this scumbag Congress between election and January. There's no telling what they're
going to do. Yeah, they're going to try to ram through.
By the elitists. They know they're on their way out. Yeah, we've got to have a concerted effort against these elitists.
Well, they're going to try to ram through the carbon tax. They're going to try to ram through the Cybersecurity Act. They're going to try to ram through the bill they already passed, let the banks take any houses they want without the deeds. But Obama pocket vetoed it 2 weeks ago and just set it aside so we can sign it later. And they've signaled that they will. But not just getting out of the big six mega banks, that's important. But a lot of people will go down and out of their credit union and pull their money out like it's their fault. No, the head of the Texas Banking Association, just in February of this year, wrote a big article and said, look, the big mega banks have engineered this. This Banking Re-Regulation Act that they're about to pass, and they did pass it a few months later, is only going to give them more power to take us over. And that's what they're doing, is snapping up local banks that actually are helping our economy. So we need to differentiate between the mega globalist money changers and your local banks. But as important as getting your money out of the big six mega banks is politically having the will and pointing out they are the criminals. We need to be pointing our fingers and screaming and saying, there's the bad man at a fifth grade level. That's the bad man. He did it. You know, police, thief, you know, purse snatcher. There he is. We need to point out that these people are doing this out in the open. Anything else, Steve?
No, and I thank you, too.
Thank you, Steve. Let's talk to Matt in Massachusetts. You're on the air with Lindsay Williams.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm just wondering, Lindsay, last week you mentioned that your source had explained to you that we should be watching Russia and China. And I'm wondering, do you expect the United States to be at war with Russia or China anytime soon? And if so, who wins the war and what happens after the war?
Well, naturally, we're not going to win the war. We have moved all of our industry abroad.
China makes over 80% of the components. China makes most of the components for the weapons.
Yeah, we are totally at their mercy. If the Strait of Hormuz were closed, even our own military could not operate. Our tanks couldn't run.
And our own government gave them the Panama Canal. This is a long-term CFR, Trilateral Commission, stated plan to move everything to China and then shut us down and just leave us with a bunch of paramilitary parasites feeding off of us. I mean, it's a nightmare situation. And you notice the last 2 weeks, China announced they were going to cut off all rare earth minerals needed for all the weapons components, all the cell phones, everything because China has gotten over a 90% oligopoly or a semi-monopoly over all rare earth minerals. But the globalists aren't stupid. They allowed China to strategically do that and then basically blocked any U.S. companies from doing it. This is a master plan, ladies and gentlemen. And now China backed off a bit and said, well, we're just going to reduce most of those rare earth minerals. So even if companies wanted to build semiconductors here, wanted to build smart bombs here, wanted to build high-tech iPhones here, which are already built in China. Even if they wanted to do that, you couldn't build it here because we can't get the rare earth minerals that are needed to do it.
Remember, the elitists control China and Russia just like they control the United States of America. They just use a little different methodology of doing it. And yes, I have been warned to watch China. Can you imagine Walmart without a single product on the shelf made in China? Well, you may very well see this because of the currency wars and the trade wars, and now our stupid Congress, of all things, want to go in there and slap on certain laws about China. And then they go over there and meddle in all of their business, just like they meddled in Iran. And now Iraq. And now Iraq is turning around saying, we don't want your democracy. We have just pulled so many boners, and every single one of them to the advantage of the elite. And now they think they can turn around and get the American taxpayer to just lay belly up and bail out the mortgage-backed securities and give them $2 to $7 trillion. Oh, folks, this is so dangerous. We've got to stand up and take action immediately, or our great-great-grandchildren are going to be slaves in the hands of the elite.
All right, well said, Lindsey Williams. Thanks for the call, Matt. Ronnie, Diane, Nalani, Kyle, others, your calls are straight ahead with Lindsey Williams. We're live at InfoWars.com. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
By the way, side note, this whole studio here at KSCO in Santa Cruz was built just for the station, but they have another building right next door that is a World War II bomb shelter gun emplacement that has another studio in it that they do the Dead Doctors Don't Live program out of. So literally from a bunker, we join you from Santa Cruz, and the great crew is back there in Austin at the Central Texas Command Center. Lindsey Williams is with us. He'll be with us about 15 minutes in the next hour. We really appreciate him giving us all this exclusive information. Let's go to Ronnie in Texas. Ronnie, you're on the air.
Thank you, sirs. For Lindsey Williams, you, sir, are a blessing to our once proud constitutional republic, and thanks for dutifully sharing the joy in grim reality. You know, for me, to face even grim reality and act accordingly is real joy. And so my question for you, sir, is what is the game plan, if they have one, for somehow extinguishing our globally exploding eruption of absolute freedom for family farmers for growing truly organic, non-GMO hemp marijuana, for starters, i.e. to help...
All right, Ronnie, I appreciate your call. They are moving with S-510 to try to shut down any type of independent farming, not just hemp. Lindsey Williams?
Yeah, the name of the game is control. This is what it's all about. And whatever it takes for them to be able to bring about total control of everything from your house to your automobile to your money to your life to where you go to what you do, this is their end goal. And whatever it takes for them to do this, they plan to do it. They use the Iraqi war in order to accomplish one thing. Now they're using Afghanistan to accomplish something else. They bring in the drugs from Mexico. They leave the borders wide open so that all of the disruptive people can come in. Every bit of this is a total part of the total program of the name of the game is control.
Order out of chaos to bring in full spectrum dominance. They bring chaos into every sector of society and life, and they bring control into every sector of society and life. Diane in Ohio, you're on the air with Lindsey Williams.
Hi, Alex and Lindsey. Thanks for all that you guys have been doing. But Lindsey, I have a comment here. I don't know if you know of Kevin Trudeau.
Yes.
Yeah, the infomercial guy. What about him?
Yeah, last month, which is September, the middle of September, He said on his radio show that Goldman Sachs, Citibank, and the IMF was on their way into Iran to take over the entire financial system. And 1 week later, Alex, you mentioned that the computer over there got worms.
Yes.
So they are in Iran. They went in through back door.
Yes.
Yeah, the elite do want, now this is very positive, the elite already, you know, I've been telling you for 2 years, no, we're not going to have a Middle East crisis. And everybody laughs at me. And I said, no, the elite is telling me they're not going to. Well, I'm telling you now, they're ready. They want a Middle East crisis of some kind within the next 3 to 4 months' time. This is very positive.
Well, that's why they're trying to destabilize Pakistan as well. They're talking about hitting Syria. Anything else, Diane?
No, I just wanted you to know that.
All right. Thank you so much for that information. Lindsay, we're going to break in 1 minute, and I know I'm springing this on you, but if folks want to get your latest audio CD that you've just been making over the weekend, breaking all this down in succinct fashion, they can go to prophecyclub.com, I know, to get it, or they can also call a toll-free number. Do you have that number?
The number is 888-799-6111. Everything that the elite has planned to do for the rest of this year and through 2012, and not only that, but I have done a complete breakdown of 14 things that you need to do immediately, and I explain them in depth. Please,
all right, give the number out again.
888-799-6111 of prophecyclub.com.
All right, we'll be right back with the third hour. Stay with us. 70 seconds.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Coming to you from the studios of KSCO 1080 Red Hot News Talk. We're here into the third hour. Going to have some more interesting folks popping in. Stuart Rhodes called us yesterday and this morning. Another Oath Keeper's had his child taken, and they're citing, because he is an Oath Keeper, and this is a full-fledged Oath Keeper, just unbelievable, citing ownership of guns, even though there's no crimes committed. We're going to see if Stuart's popping in briefly towards the end of this hour. Lindsay Williams is our guest right now. We're taking your phone calls. This is a short segment, long segment coming up. We'll be with us into the next segment. Nailani, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. In Tennessee, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, it's actually Nailana, but I'll forgive you.
Leilana.
Nailana.
Okay, go ahead. Okay,
it may seem like I'm changing the subject because I want to talk about the S-510, but I think you agree it ties right into the dollar dying. I'm an unemployed single mother, too. I've been living on $185 a month for 3 years now, and I've done it by eating homegrown food and living as simply as possible and embracing the fact that food and shelter are my only real necessities. In light of my own economic crisis, I made plans to care for my kids by farming, and 30 days from now, I was moving to a country location to begin growing my own food, have chickens and cows. But now, with the S-510 bill, is there any point? And with your insight, Lindsay, into what's about to go down, is this bill going to pass? And seriously, would I be better to just get myself...
Well, listen, I want to comment and have Lindsay do it. If everybody starts farming and ranching or even doing a garden, they can't stop us all. And no, S-510 is probably not going to pass. The lame duck could do anything, but let them try to implement that. You know, these criminals want us to be their domesticated slaves. It's time to say, I'm not Al-Qaeda for growing tomatoes. I'm not Al-Qaeda for growing plums. I'm not Al-Qaeda for not taking your mercury-filled shots. I'm not Al-Qaeda for worshiping your depression. Okay, I'm not going along with it anymore. And the only thing you can do is try to get self-sufficient. Lindsay Williams, your comments.
Yes, you are a year ahead of probably most everyone else out there in the listening audience. Congratulations. I'm so glad. I wish everybody would immediately take some action to do exactly what you're doing, because there's one thing they can't control. They can't control every single minute little garden out there in the country, but they sure can control the banking system. They can control Washington, D.C. They already have their noose around its neck. They're going to control every lending institution. They're going to control the currency. They can't take care of every little garden and every well out there in the country. Folks, I found out, I investigated, where the elitists are. I did this about a year ago. There's not a single one of them living in a city. Every single one of them have moved to the middle of nowhere. The elitists already know what's going to happen, and they've moved out.
Absolutely, they have. And most of the really wealthy people in Austin, Texas, are getting strange variances that hardly anybody else can get. And there's drilling rigs everywhere in the middle of the richest areas in town. They're all putting up big fences and have drilling rigs putting in water wells. Now, you could drive around anywhere in Austin in a wealthy area, and they're drilling wells. I mean, Lindsay, this is crazy.
Oh, yeah. This is people are waking up, but you've got to wake up more. And please don't let them pass any mortgage-backed security bill. I keep stressing this. Please forgive me, Alex, for saying this so many times on one program. I sound like a broken record. Over the weekend, what I have found out from these people, please, 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 please don't let them bail out the elitist and give them $2 to $12 trillion of your money between November and January.
Anything else from Tennessee?
No, I just wanted your input as to if you thought it was a bad financial decision to start farming at this point.
Well, ma'am, I don't know your financial. I don't know your financial situation, but it sounds like an investment to have cows and all of that. If you don't have any money, but you can certainly, just get back to the land and live in a meager way. And look, 90% of the public in the Great Depression, or about 89%, lived in rural areas and were somewhat self-sufficient. Now 90%, right at 90, are urban and are not self-sufficient. If 7 million people starved to death one way or the other, according to major university studies, during the 10-year Great Depression, with 90% being self-sufficient or quasi-self-sufficient, what's going to happen now? This is their plan for martial law and total control, where you're begging for the army to come into your city. The threat fusion centers are set up. They're ready for martial law. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen. It is Monday, the 25th day of October, 2010. We are simulcasting on AM and FM, Global Shortwave, WWCR, XM, wonderful AM and FM affiliates, number one streaming radio show according to Shoutcast, Google Analytics, and many other metrics at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Only a small amount of our audio streams actually even show up at Shoutcast, but if you go there, you'll notice we're number one. That's not just it's no brag, just fact, as John Wayne once said, we're not bragging that we're the number one show on the internet. It's actually scary. In fact, seeing 800 people last night just absolutely loving me and appreciating me, and after 4 hours of hearing me babble, begging me to not go, it was actually very humbling. And people say, oh, I'm humbled. I mean, I am humbled. I'm just a regular guy. And it makes me worry. Can I live up to my responsibilities? I mean, it's just incredible, but I'm just an average person. All of you are great leaders in this fight against tyranny. It was so wonderful seeing everybody that came out last night in Santa Cruz, and I can't wait to see people tonight. I tell you, I'm tired. My plane got delayed. We're going back to Lindsey Williams here in a moment, flying in Friday. And then by the time I drove up to Northern California from San Francisco, I got to bed about 2, and then I was already on Central Clock, so I woke up at about 5:30, which is about 7:30 Austin time. And same thing last night. I've had about 3 hours sleep. I'm not complaining. I'm just kind of worried about tonight. But I'm sure I'll pull it through and speak for 4 hours. But Sheriff Richard Mack's going to pop by, who's in town. Joe Bannister, former Treasury agent. We had Dr. Stan Monteith there last night here in beautiful Santa Cruz. But going back to Lindsey Williams, as I say every day, it's one thing to intellectually know that all of this is real, but then it's another thing to actually see it unfold. And I wanted to briefly get Bill Graff, who works here at KSCO as the engineer, just briefly before we go back to Lindsey Williams. You've been sitting here for about an hour listening to Lindsey. Do you have any questions or comments for Lindsey Williams?
Well, I live on a family farm. My father grows apples and sells them to a big company and locally based company, Martinelli Sparkling Cider. So our apples are actually sent out and, you know, and consumed by the world.
That's my favorite apple juice.
Yeah. And so, you know, when I hear that they're going to tell us that we can't grow our own food, that kind of scares me. And it brings up something that I wonder about. You know, my dad's almost 80 years old now, and somebody tells him he can't grow his own food. He's, well, I don't know what his reaction is going to be, but I know what my reaction would be. I tend to tell him to get the hell off my property or I'll shoot him.
Well, if you read the bill, it's, well, we're going to come to inspections and there's going to be fees and you've got to put in all this process and pay all these new taxes or we'll shut you down. And so, in effect, the way it's stated, I've had lawyers on and Congress people to go over the bill on air. That's what it says, in effect, that it's a felony if you don't do everything the way we say. And the law is written to give the Food and Drug Administration just unlimited power to make up whatever they want.
Well, what do you tell the people, though? Let me ask a question. What are you going to tell all the small growers who grow apples, and I'm just using this as an example because it's what I know about, who grow apples for Martinelli? Martinelli buys apples from all the local growers. They're very proud of the fact that they don't buy apples from anywhere else.
They've been here for 100 plus years.
Yeah, and they're all organic, and they're, you know, they just do a great job of mixing apples.
And this is designed to destroy that for the few good companies that actually do buy from the locals.
Well, but what do you tell this company, who's a worldwide company now? They grow apples.
Here's
sell
a Martinelli thing. Google Martinelli fluoride. They just had a big fight. Begging the town not to fluoridate, and the government came and said, we'll give you $1 million to put in a filtration system, because they were lobbying to not have the water fluoridated, and the government's trying to make them fluoridate the apple juice. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, and I think Martinelli's also exploring possibilities of drilling your own well and everything. So
No, that's the way to go. Your take on that, Lindsay Williams.
The elitists are going to do everything they do very slowly, very gradually. They don't want you to jump out of the saddle. They'll give you this rule today and that rule tomorrow, something else the next day. Something has got to make the American people so mad that literally they will jump out of the saddle before these people have time to pull the string. Folks, you have heard an urgency in my voice today that you've never heard before because of what I've been told this weekend. You have got to take action, and don't let them put in one little bitty rule after the other until you make total slaves.
I want to go back to calls with Lindsay Williams. We're running out of time here, but briefly, Lindsay, anything else he told you in yesterday's discussion when he has reportedly 2 weeks to live, but you know they could be wrong about that. It could be a month, it could be a year, it could be tomorrow. Anything else that he told you that you can talk about that people need to hear?
I can put it in one expression very easily. Get ready. Get prepared. Do what's necessary. You need to know what to do. Most people don't know what to do and how to go about it. Well, that's the very reason that for the first time in all my years, I have finally told you what to do. 14 things in our new presentation that I tell you what you can do in relation to what the elitists have told me they're going to do. You've got to take the responsibility for yourself. Get out of this dollar crisis. Have a roof over your head. All of these things. And basically what he has said is be prepared. And you've got to know how to do this preparation.
And that's the same thing Napolitano. Same thing Napolitano is saying. Let's talk to Kyle in Iowa. You're on the air with Lindsay Williams.
Hello, Alex. Hello, Lindsay. I kind of want to just make a general comment and then get Lindsay's take on it. I've called in and made this point before on your show, Alex. It's been a while since I have called in. But throughout history, anytime there's a consolidation of power, they always turn around and hang a group of themselves, essentially, to point the finger like, oh, these are the bad guys, we got them. They caused this crisis so that way they could pose as, you know, the saviors. Oh, we just got the bad guys who caused all this, but now we have all this power. Have they stated, and maybe you can't talk about this, but do they already have plans to, say, hang the neocons or hang the neolibs, or because they're gonna murk 50-70% of the people who helped them get here to this point. They don't have a choice because heads are gonna have to roll, and if they want to keep power, they're gonna have to do that in order to placate the people. Or have they just not thought about that and they'll figure it out afterwards?
Well, there is one thing they have said, and this is so relates to the Alex Jones Show. They have said to me, we must have our national media in order to be able to carry out what we want in the New World Order. And this will be very encouraging to you, Alex, especially. The last thing that they're going to bring total control on is radio talk shows. Now, this has been positively stated, and they know that they can't control. If they control you, they're going to have control of the national. Some control factors will be put in on the national media. So you'll be out there as long as anybody, Alex.
So we're the last in line.
You're the last in line. They will get you. Be assured of that. But you'll be the last in line, and you'll be there as long as anybody else because they can't control the liberal media. They know the control factors will be put on them if they put any on you. Therefore, you're going to be out there as long as anybody. And I'll make you a promise. I promise you that in the next 2 to 3 weeks' time, anytime, I mean, you listen to the Alex Jones Show every single day, please. Everybody out there in your listening audience, listen every single day to the Alex Jones Show. Don't miss it. And I promise you in the next 2 to 3 weeks, anything that is passed on to me before the expiration, I will call up Alex's producer and say, I've got something startling. I want to say it.
All right. I hope that answers your question, Kyle, in Iowa. Does that answer your question?
Well, yes and no, because they, you know, I mean, and maybe he doesn't have the answer, but I didn't know if they already have their guns pointed at some of their own people, because whoever's foolish enough to help bring this in, and if I can actually make this statement too, if the people who are running this country right now, or at least who appear to be, to the military-industrial complex that have the semblance of actually having power, not that they really do, if they would just take control of that and actually save this country, they could actually save themselves. But I know they probably
won't. Well, no, that's a key point. In fact, that was the end of my speech last night, and I appreciate the call, Kyle. At the end of my speech, I made the point that a lot of elitists who are very high level do not like this, and they're figuring out how dangerous it is, how destructive it is, and that very, you know, avarice-filled spirit that empowers and animates the globalist, it isn't going to stop ever. I mean, there's no end. It's kind of like Stalin. No one opposing him, and he kills tens of millions of Russians and Ukrainians. It's like Hitler. They just want more, more, more. It's what they do. They enjoy it. They're psychopaths. Let's talk to Weston in Missouri. Weston, you're on the air with Lindsey Williams. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. I'd just like to say thank you to yourself as well as Alan Watt for waking me up, man.
Thank you. We got about a minute and a half. You got a question?
Okay, I got one question here. Okay. Mr. Williams, if the dollar is dead in 2012, how can a lower middle class person prepare for this?
Gold and silver. I have already been told that they positively must get it. And at that point, then whatever a new exchange medium is, you can exchange it for that, because by that time, gold and silver, the gold's going to be up to $2,000 and $3,000 an ounce.
Yes. Oh, okay.
But the poor man's gold is silver, you know, $5 an ounce 10 years ago, $24 an ounce today. And it's not that the gold is appreciating or the silver is, it's that the dollar's been devalued. And so as the dollar's devalued, you can later cash gold and silver in for whatever the currency is or whatever value it has. It's not, a lot of people get gold as an investment. Oh, look, it's up four times what it was in the last 10 years. That's not the reason I hold gold and silver. It's an emergency backup for food and water. It's an emergency backup for my radio show. And not much of it. We couldn't run long. The point is, we're going into a design depression. If we get the word out and expose these bankers, they may slow down and back off. But if we don't have the political will to say, hey, stop what you're doing now, they're going all the way. Look how bold they are. Lindsey Williams, do one more segment with us with more calls. Then we've got some other guests in studio. Stay with us.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes.
And everybody knows.
Everybody knows.
Ha! final segment with Lindsey Williams. As new developments unfold, you know he'll be here. We appreciate him. Let's go ahead and quickly take a few more calls. Let's talk to Roger in Texas. Roger, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex. Hey, Lindsey. How are y'all?
Hi, Roger.
Well, Alex, I just wanted to say thank you for all you do to try to wake up all the sheeple out there. The time is getting short, and I just appreciate what both of y'all have been doing. And I wanted to ask you, Lindsey, do you post your information at the Prophecy Club, or do you have another site?
About a year and a half ago, I was called by this elitist individual and threatened. He said, you close down your website if you don't, and he said what he would do. It wasn't very pleasant. As a result, I do not have a website.
Yeah, that's why we've got to move
materials from time to time.
That's why we got to move quick, but
let me give you one thing, Alex, and this, our listener will appreciate this. During the commercial break, I just decided I need to give one more thing. Yeah, there's a lot that I could say. I'll agree with you, Alex. Please listen to this carefully, everybody out there. I had to contemplate whether I wanted to say this or not. Both of the Mr. X's of my book, The Energy and Iron Crisis, came down with horrible types of cancer, malignancy. I don't know whether this has happened so. They have given me information over the years. Both of them nearly died. One of them went to the Alzartos treatment in Mexico and was cured. The other one has a son who's a doctor, and they convinced him to go the conventional method in America, and now he's expected to die within the next 2 weeks. I will do this. For those of you who know anyone who has a malignancy, I will call my 800 service after this program and give them the phone number where you positively can be cured of malignancy. And whether this was by chance, but both of the Mr. X's in my book, The Energy and Iron Crisis, came down with some of the worst forms of cancer. One of them's cured now because of the Alzartos treatment in Mexico, which was given originally, I think, in Spain. And now, of course, the other one is dying.
Okay, we got to move quick here. Let's do a couple more calls if we have time. Let's talk to Ryan in Arizona. You're on the air, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing, Alex?
Good.
Nice to speak with you and Lindsey again. I really appreciate you as a beacon of truth. I think that your start, you know, as a on public access TV, so where you're at today is a testament to how powerful the truth can be if you work hard and put in the time and effort. And I'd like to ask Lindsey. Me and my wife are both educators here in Arizona, and we've been trying to prepare as best we can. It's pretty hard, you know, when you're making like low 30s, paying for rent and all the other utilities, trying to actually save up some money. And my wife currently has a trust fund that her parents have set up, but she's not able to touch it for a few more years. And I've tried to convince her parents to get into gold, silver, and other, you know, precious metals that are actually tangible that they can own and actually possess and not have to worry about, you know, being invested in the stock market and all of a sudden the dollar crashes and your portfolio is worth nothing.
The only thing they will be able to depend on is the gold and silver they have. All of these other funds, they may or may not be there. And even if they are, what are they going to be worth whenever our present currency collapses? And then how would you change them over to the value of the new currency?
Exactly. So, did your insider friend mention where or what kind of is it going to be a global currency, maybe a North American currency?
We already have a global currency. It's called the SDR, and it's above the other currencies. It will just control all your regional currencies. When you read about the G20 with coordinated devaluation, that is the global government. It's a digital cashless currency amongst themselves, but over time, they're just going to go to a global cashless thumbprint face scan system. That's their plan. They'll bypass it all and then finally just get rid of your regional currencies altogether. But the world government is already here, and I appreciate your call Ryan. Ramon, Al, Lori, Bill, we'll get to you, but Lindsey Williams has got to go. Lindsey, I appreciate you coming on with us, and I look forward to having you touch base with us in the near future. God bless you, my friend, and we'll talk to you soon. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us. I'm that voice inside your head. I'm the enemy.
Voice inside your head. You refuse to hear. I'm the face that you have to face. Mirrored in your stare. I'm what's left. I'm what's right. I'm the enemy. I'm the enemy to take you down. Bring you to your knees. So who?
Pretend. What if I say?
What if I say I'm not like the others?
What if I say?
I'm just another one in your place.
You're the pretender. What if I say? I will never surrender. That's the key. You know, we could try to get farms and hide out and get ready. That's only one part of the equation. The other part is getting out there and saying, that's the criminals. They're the tyranny. Those are the bad guys. That's the problem. Right there. That's how we stop this globalist takeover. We get our fighting spirit back. The globalists have tried to sell us that it's some type of attribute to be cynical and not involved. But that's only so they can isolate you in a whole nation of people that don't care about each other so we can all be isolated and controlled. Now, I've got Michael Swerling in here who worked here when he was in high school and now is the owner for many years of KSCO. AM 1080 here in Santa Cruz, blasting out, you know, all over the state. And, of course, they also have KOMY AM 1340, and we're on both those stations. We're on KOMY during the day and at night on KSCO, some of our great affiliates here. But I briefly wanted to bring Ted Anderson in because I'm always talking to him up at the Minnesota studios. I'm in the Texas studios. But Ted came down here to hang out with me this weekend. And, Ted, I'm glad we got to hook up here.
Oh, it's great, and it's really awesome to be just sitting right next to you, Alex. It's been so long since we've seen each other, and what a great day to do it. Gold is running up like crazy. The G20, you're talking about the...
When was the last time I saw you in person? It was with the Ventura Willie Nelson thing?
Yeah, we came down for that concert.
Time flies.
It sure does. I mean, that's when you had a little tiny baby, and it was just, you could hold him in the arms, one arm easily, and now that little girl's running around, you can talk to her, and she's just raising Cain at home, isn't she?
Time flies.
Yeah, it sure does. You know, you're talking about the globalists and what's going on. The G20 right now is really messing with the U.S. dollar. I mean, like the other countries are teaming up to drive the United States dollar down. And that's the reason why we're having the flop right now. The dollar is falling and we're seeing gold rise back up again. Everybody was backing away from gold. It was all over. The country had solved all of its economic problems and gold was going to go down back to that $400 an ounce.
Well, this happens every 2 weeks.
It sure does. And now it's going back up again. Of course, today, gold is at a high of $1,347.90 already, almost $1,350 an ounce. I mean, we were sitting at $13.20-something. Just
and that's because they announced more dollar devaluation.
Exactly, and that's coming right out of the G20. And, of course, Bloomberg, I mean, here's a headline right here. Gold gains as dollar drops. Palladium soars to highest level since 2001.
Yeah, you don't look at a weekly graph. You look at not even a monthly graph. You look at a yearly graph.
Yeah.
And if you look at a graph, it's going straight up.
Yeah, it sure is. And you know, if people want to take advantage of it, I tell you, we dropped the franc down to $296 an ounce. That you get the full year of the international forecaster, which is $159 value, so you can see.
That's a great deal on that coin, even without the newsletter.
It is without the newsletter, but the thing about it is, I mean, people need to own gold. They need to start considering gold instead of paper.
What about folks that want to get into silver? A lot of experts say that's the sleeper. What's your deal on those silver half dollars?
Well, that's the thing, Alex. The Walking Liberty halves are at $13 and some odd cents. I can't even remember what the change number is, but right now, 13.33, and I'm trading them right now at $11.77. So that is just spectacular. And, you know, I know there's a lot of new listeners with the KCSO audience here. We're looking at $26.45 for The Creature from Jekyll Island. That's the best book on the Fed out there, bar none. And when we put the full, silver dollar into the coin that was used back at the turn of the century is money.
Yeah, those are going for about $25 a piece, and then a 1995 book. And so you're selling this for 1995, $6 shipping. So you're basically losing $20-$30 on this?
Yeah, that's what's going on with that. But, I mean, what a great way to get involved in the precious metals market. It's a great way for us to introduce you to Midas Resources. And, and you'll have a book. By the time you get done reading this book, and if you have any hair left on your head, then you might be considering buying gold and silver. You know, it's one of those things. What, you know,
Swirling's in here shooting a YouTube video.
Yeah, here he is. We're going to be on that. I guess we'll be posted up on the internet. But anyways, Alex, all I can say is that it's just one of those times where, you know, we've had the market drop. People get the opportunity to buy for some reason, and I wish people would stop doing this. It would make it more difficult for me to offer great deals. But people quit buying when the market goes down, and I don't know why that is. I step in and I buy. I've got I talk to you. It's between you and me. But there will be some new coins coming out that support the campaign for liberty very soon. As soon as I get that stock.
Bottom line, though, people can buy when it's high, but buy at the old low price because you don't go up, even though the market goes up until you sell out of the coin. 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. Call Midas Resources today, a great sponsor of the show, but quite frankly, there isn't much sponsorship at these prices. This is a loss leader, ladies and gentlemen. 800-686-2237 or MidasResources.com, and they've got all the gold news and information up there. Also at GCNLive.com. Ted, on a side issue, the FreedomWorks Tea Party website got hacked and taken down last week. And I didn't even know about that on Friday until they brought it in late in the show. I had known you'd called me that morning. You were already in California. And I talked to your engineer and your web people. They got somehow the code. They broke the code. They got into the server. They destroyed the server. And you guys have got the site almost completely back up right now. You're just trying to get the WordPress reloaded and things at GCNLive.com. And then we had a bunch of our streams go down that night. And we're not the types of folks that sit there and every time we have an internet problem say we were hacked. I mean, I have web experts. I have engineers on this. We've had people hack in years ago and, post a naked lady on a motorcycle. I mean, these are actual hack attacks. And we've built up systems to try to block that. But it's interesting that we got attacked at the same time they did, and it just shows that this whole crowd of globalists are really getting concerned. What ended up happening with that attack on the servers?
Well, it was definitely a cyber attack. There's no question about it, and I think it was a government thing too. I think it's an ops thing, Alex, because they attack the liberty-minded type people. I mean, that's why I called you, just to warn you, that there's something going on with me. They may be hitting Infowars.com. Of course, none of us want to ever see that go down. But they did. They came in and they hit the first server. They put in some code that would harvest the passwords. And then they'd pass the passwords back. And after that, it was just a matter of installing some malicious software. And it was, it started to attack our servers.
We've had our YouTube channels hacked.
Yeah, so that, it's a shame that stuff happens, but it does. It gives us a lesson on, how security works and how much more secure we need to be. But
the point is, a lot of people don't want this information getting out. Folks, if you want to take advantage of those gold and silver deals, 800-686-2237. I'd get involved today. 800-686-2237. In closing, Ted, what'd you think of the event last night?
Oh, the event was awesome, and the people loved you, Alex, and of course, we really loved the people. I was just so grateful to see that group come up and to have the support that we have. It's humbling and I just, it's exciting at the same time.
It kind of freaks me out though to have people looking at me like I'm Mother Teresa or something. I don't like it, quite frankly.
Well,
I like great folks coming out, but people like, oh please, we're hoping you. Oh, you're our only hope. And I'm like, if I'm our only hope, we're in deep trouble. I mean, I'm not Obi-Wan Kenobi. Those nice women were like, Obi-Wan Kenobi, literally save us. I was just like, my God. I mean, 4 hours of me, I was like, these people must be sick of this. They're like, no more, don't leave.
Yeah, there was definitely an ovation, and they wanted thinking more of you. I'm really looking forward to tonight. Sold out crowd both nights. We probably could do a third night and sell it out again. You know, that's how big this has become. That's how important Liberty is.
Well, we were having events with 1,200, 1,400 people 5-6 years ago. So I just don't do these events because I'm so tied down on the films, the news websites, what we're doing. Ted Anderson, look forward to talking to you again, hanging out with you tonight. God bless you, my friend.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Alex.
You bet. That's Ted Anderson. Now, I could spend 5 hours with this guy, and unfortunately, we only have about 12 minutes left in total broadcast time with Michael Swerling. Michael, why don't you get up on that microphone there, MZ. MZ, briefly, tell folks about your history in radio and KSCO and how the towers are built out over the ocean. I mean, this is a really neat place, and how this is the only RCA-modeled, you know, building built just for a radio station in the country, and the event, and then your take politically on what's happening in the world.
Nice to be on your show, Obi-Wan Kajones.
And Zwirling's got his iPhone over here videotaping this, yeah, while he's on air.
Yeah.
And he's got target, what do they call that in the military? Target psychosis. Because he's fighter pilots in World War II would be flying in, shooting up a train or a troop column, and they would just keep flying and then just run right into the target because they were so focused on shooting at the target. The Zwirling has handed over the video camera. Go ahead.
Okay, so where do we start? The history of KSCO?
Yes.
Okay, it was built in 1947 to RCA specifications in a to be a radio station. I don't know if there are any other buildings left like this that are operating radio stations in the United States.
The answer
is no.
Yeah,
Bill says no, and he would.
You
know.
Guys got the traffic news guy in here. You said he's been here 40 years?
Don Hissing's running the board in the main control room. He's been here. He's in his 45th year.
Yeah, Don was here when I was a high school guy running Santa Cruz High School.
I want to know what John's eating and drinking. That guy looks like he's injecting growth hormone with a turkey baster. I mean, he looks like he's in good shape.
And the lady on the lower right behind the window.
Oh, that's your mother, yes.
Yeah, there's Kay of Kay's Commentary. She's the reason behind my love of talk radio. She used to wake us kids up in the with the house intercom to talk radio, and I became addicted to it. And I always thought that this radio station, which was sort of an old fogey music station, right?
Watch it now.
Okay, all right. Well,
he's right.
Montavani music and so forth. Nothing very exciting.
We had a program when I came to work here as the last hire of the original owner. That's how long I've been here. We had a program called Music for Dining.
Music in a quiet mood.
Produced, transcribed. We would announce it like this, you know. I'm serious. It was wild.
Yeah.
The guy who built the radio station.
I saw some Pavarotti records back there, too.
We carried the New York Metropolitan Opera live. It was a 45-minute process to hook it up on balanced pair lines all the way from New York.
It's target narcosis, excuse me.
It was wild. It was and Michael of course tells the great story of being on the Santa Cruz High School radio program that the original owner Vernon provided to the high school. They had their own show, and
for kids who were interested in future careers in broadcasting, when there actually were some careers in broadcasting.
Yeah, and Michael got on and actually it's a widely known misquote. He didn't actually make a flatulence noise. He actually made what was a raspberry, but the boss thought it was a flatulent noise.
Would you like to hear the noise? I could do it again. 40 something years later.
I'm going to turn it down
while you do it. Go ahead.
That's all it was.
But
I thought we'd done the best show ever. But you showed them.
You now own the stations.
I told the guy right when he came in and said, "Zwirling, you're through. You don't make a fart noise on KS." I said, "Hey, I'm sounding like you a little bit here." But he said, "You don't make a fart noise on KSCO, and you're finished." And I said, "Oh, I never liked Mr. Berlin very much, and I figure I had nothing to lose, so I told him off." And everybody else who was on the staff resigned in protest.
The high school staff.
So I felt
the high school staff.
It was really good. And I said, "Someday I'm going to own this place." So it took about 26 years after that, but that was 1991 when. I had the opportunity to purchase the radio station here.
And check this out. Here's the other fact that's just mind-blowing. The station went on the air on September 21st, 1947. And in its entire existence, it's only had three owners, two of which our families, local families.
Yeah.
Wild. It's a wild history.
No, this is classic radio. It looks like the studio. Looks like you've got the old signs out front.
Yeah. The studio you're sitting in has hosted Woody Herman and the Thundering Herd, the Glenn Miller Orchestra, Hilo Hattie. A really bunch of famous, famous people have played in this studio, played music.
And also, you've got a lot of locals here who are very well known, like Clint Eastwood, that are listeners.
I don't know how much Clint listens, but he certainly can if he wants to.
Well, you said you've talked to him.
I talked with him once. I wanted to get
twice.
Him.
Twice.
We've done, that's right, twice.
He said Ronald Reagan was his favorite president.
That's right.
We've done events with the SPCA and another listener on the other side of the bay,
MZ is
Doris
just,
Day.
MZ is just not bragging now.
No. This is the coolest thing. I've tried for years to get Doris Day on the radio. And we found a way to do it. We had to go because she's an Aminal lover, I say.
She's Aminal. A fan of your mom, isn't she?
Big time. Yeah. Did I tell you that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. We finally got her on for about 10 minutes, and I thought we were going to talk about Aminals. And all Doris Day wanted to talk about was my mom. Tell your mother I love her. Give her a big hug for me. Because she likes my mom's commentaries. I felt great. So anyhow... I always wanted KSCO to be a voice for everyone, and I think it's become a voice for everyone.
Well, also, you know, a lot of stations are picking up the show. It's accelerated, especially in the last year. But I remember you going back 2 years ago thinking about putting me on, and you got a lot of heat doing it, but it's turned out to be really good. And last night was an amazing spectacle.
Yeah, for sure. So it's great, Alex. Yeah, there's nothing but good stuff ahead, I think.
Except we just talked about the whole world going to Hades in a handbasket.
Well, but I think there's nothing but good stuff ahead because what I saw last night, and these are people from all walks of life. They're not in any particular group.
It's very wide strata, very
total,
wide.
Total. And that was very gratifying to me.
I think the more people that get the word and get the idea that it's a planned meltdown, I think that part is important.
I think it's key.
Yeah.
And it is planned. I mean, that came out in the Goldman Sachs Timberwolf emails.
Well, you just listened to your last guest for 45 minutes, and I, to tell you the truth, Alex, I'd never heard him before. I guess I've missed all the shows where he's been on, but that dude is scary. he's got the inside track from some people who know, and you listen to him, and he's scary. That, you know, that stuff he's talking about is... You know, that's not fun.
Well, but it's right here in the headlines as well, unfortunately.
And it's funny, though, how you don't pick it up. I mean, even though you read the separate stories and you don't put it all together until you hear somebody like him put it together and then you go, whoa, that's, wow. I guess that's what the event last night and tonight are all about.
Well, the good news is there is a huge awakening. America and the world is awakened, as Zbigniew Brzezinski said a few months ago. But it's like you just woke up from a sleep. You're still getting your bearings.
Your energy has an awful lot to do with that. Now, I know you think the world of Dr. Stan Monteith, as do I.
We got to go to break, sir.
Okay.
When we come right back. We'll go there.
Okay, good.
With MZ, the owner of 1080 KSCO, and of course, KOMYAM 1340. Stay with us.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation. I just want to say great job to the crew up in Minnesota and the crew in Austin, Texas, and the great crew down here at KSCO. We're almost out of time. I'll be speaking tonight and then back to Austin tomorrow. And these are times that try men's souls. It was the best of times, the worst of times. We don't know how good liberty is until we start to lose it. So we have talked about some depressing issues, but facing these will let us have a fighting chance against it. Michael Zwirling, you got interrupted by the break. You were talking about Dr. Stan Monteith.
And this was in very good times, Alex. I've known Dr. Stan for about 42 years. In high school, when I was a senior in high school, he had to take high school government, which I wasn't happy about. But my teacher, Mr. Bob Listener, was great. He was fantastic. He made it so interesting. He would expose us to every position. He would send us to an ACLU meeting one night for homework. And then the next day, he would have Dr. Stan Monteith come and talk to our class. And we always believed that Dr. Stan was an amazing orator and speaker. But we would sort of roll our eyes and look at each other about the stuff that he was saying and predicting 40 plus years ago. And man, was he right on. Was he right on.
And he was there 81 last night.
Yeah, he showed
up. Very distinguished gentleman.
And we hope he'll show up tonight. I've talked with him on the telephone today, and there's a chance he'll show up tonight, although he does have to get on the radio to do his own radio, one of his own several hours that he does daily, and I think he's
he's on Genesis,
So anyhow, yeah, Dr. Stan is right here in Santa Cruz in KSCO land, and it's pretty amazing. But what you're doing, because of you understand the power of new media, that so many people, that the broadcast industry, and Ted does too, by the way, that the broadcast industry does not understand. They're clueless. They have no idea. They have no idea what the power of new media is, although they say they do. They all have fancy websites that they've hired some corporate company that just stamps them out, you know, and it's just like there's nothing there. There's no heart and soul, you know,
it's empty
anything
calories.
That's corporate. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So we're very proud of being local and original. And I mean, it'd be nice. I mean, we may well be doing some programming with Genesis, but we want to do our best to keep the programming, the live and local, you know, connect with the audience type programming that you've been able to do very efficiently.
I have to say, KSCO is what talk radio really should be.
Yeah.
I mean, because being here the last few days, being able to hear all the incredibly diverse people you have on, especially your weekend lineup, and of course, not just KSCO, but KOMY 1340, and the website's KSCO.com.
Yeah. So, and the other thing, that's first time we've ever used our website to sell all the tickets. I said, that's the only way you can get tickets. Just go to KSCO.com and click on the banner. And everybody did that. And we were able to get an electronic list, just like the airlines. You know, I can't remember the last time I got a paper ticket from the airlines. Everything's electronic now. I get into the system, and when you get there and you check in, you just show your ID. And they say, yep, you're on the list. You get to go in. So that's what we did yesterday at the Coconut Grove, and we'll do it tonight again.
Well, I didn't really understand the alternative media. I was, you know, going back 15 years ago, I was just trying to reach people any way I could. So whether it was Access TV or the internet or local radio or, you know, whatever it was, instead of, you know, having a newsletter, I started making films in 2000 and in 1996 and 1997. And then that whole way of reaching people, we've reached hundreds and hundreds of millions. I mean, think about that. Just in the last few years, with these films for free online, we couldn't do any of it without you, the supporters, going to InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and GCNLive.com and supporting us and spreading the word. It's amazing what we're doing. I'm sorry to the other callers. We're out of time. A great job to Bill Graff, the engineer, and everybody here and the program director, our general manager, Michael Olson, who came in with us earlier. In fact, you'll be able to hear him right now. Retransmission starts at InfoWars.com.